We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Gonna eat a lot of peaches. Taylor Heinicke finds Cam Sims in the end zone. Shoot. Cam Sims loves to say, shoot.
Cam Sims should be getting a lot of play, man. I'm telling you, for a long time since he's been here.
I like Cam Sims. I like DeAndre Carter, dude.
I like DeAndre, but ever since I sat down and had the conversation with Ike Hilliard, and he told me, he said, Cam Sims, you know, is like he can play slot. He's saying then he's a nightmare for people once he get down in the red zone. He's 6'4", 6'5". So
he's a big boy. Long arms.
I'm like, okay, let me start watching him some more. And the dude is open a lot, you know. So I just think sometimes we get caught up in overthinking some things. Because I think people like Cam, DeAndre, they're hungry as hell. They are willing to do whatever it takes just to be on the field. And once they get on the field, they will give you everything they have.
I also qualify as hungry as hell. I haven't eaten anything and ran a mile. I ran a mile and a quarter this morning. I got a 5K on Thursday morning. Think I got it in me?
Not if you do a great Wednesday night.
I think it might save me as I have we tape our show Wednesday night at NBC. So I'm getting out of there at 9:30 or so.
And that means you're going to just go home and drink water and go to sleep.
Usually. That's usually what
that's
I do.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. I believe that. Like
Who still goes out hard? Like, Cody, will you go out hard Wednesday night? Wednesday night's a big bar night.
No, but I think I will be at the casino.
Right, so basically,
you're clearly
he's going
a gambling
out hard.
Addict.
He's going out hard.
There's no like
at the casino. He's getting drinks free.
He's paying for them. No, you don't get drinks free.
Yeah, you do when you're playing.
What are you talking about, dude?
I swear, you pay for them.
That's because you're not playing. Like,
yeah, you pay for them in your overwhelming gambling losses.
I just told the boys that so we go to Vegas in 2 weeks. I got a feeling I'm going to win some cash.
Yeah, that's what the last person that said before they built the MGM City Center. They've hit about $10 billion on that. I think they've done paying for it already, too. Because everybody goes out of Vegas and says, yeah, I'm going to kill them this week.
I have a feeling, like, the people that run the MGM or the people that run Caesars, like, when they want to build something, they're not getting a loan. They're just paying cash.
Straight cash. They got cash.
They're not worried about Navy Federal versus PenFed. Who's going to give them the best rate to buy a new motorcycle?
You know MGM.
Straight cash.
You know who MGM gets a loan from? MGM.
Right. M calls G, and G's like, yeah, dude, I'll give you that money.
Yeah,
no
call
problem.
Him. We're going to call another M. We'll get it, baby.
Let's talk Taylor Heinicke. Balled out yesterday. I think perhaps his best game yesterday. I think it obviously meant a lot to him. I saw him walk off the field, and I actually posted it on my Instagram. There was some intensity in his eyes. And he's an intense dude. And I talked to McLaurin after the game. You'll hear that a little later in the show. And McLaurin said you could tell Taylor had an edge to him. Mm-hmm. Washington Football PR has a Twitter account, and they post a bunch of stats after wins. Listen to this. Taylor Heinicke's 141.3 passer rating is the 10th highest single-game passer rating in franchise history. It's pretty damn good. But I don't know how long that stat goes back. Like, what is Doug Williams' passer rating from the 87 Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean, didn't he throw four touchdowns in the second quarter? Like, that's got to be a pretty good passer rating. Heinicke's two straight 110-plus passer rating games mark the first time a Washington quarterback has had a 110 or better passer rating since 2019. So that must have been Alex in 19 before the injury.
I would guess.
I mean, because it wasn't the collection of dudes that rolled out after Alex, after the injury.
Uh-uh.
It wasn't Colt. Who do we see? Colt Sanchez?
127.9 was Doug Williams' passer rating from the Super Bowl.
You're telling me Heineke's passer rating yesterday was higher than Doug Williams in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to tell you no, because Doug Williams won a damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sit up here and all this crap.
What was Doug's stat line in that game?
He was 18 for 29, 340 yards, four touchdowns, one interception.
Hold on. Give me that one more time. He had 18 completions for 340?
Yes.
Now, listen.
Where's Ricky Sanders?
The passer rating declines there, I guess, for Doug because the accuracy is not the same. But I'd love to see the yards per attempt, yards per completion for Doug in that game compared to Heineke yesterday. Doug going downfield, sir.
John Elway in that game had a 36.8 passer rating.
Yeah, that's that defense. Richie Pettibone, mm-hmm. We'll do that to you.
I think if you just spike the football line every play, you get like a 39. Elway's stat line was 14 completions, 38 passes, 14 completions.
Wolf City.
Yeah, that is Richie Pettibone.
257 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions.
Wolf. This is another one from, you can follow these guys. I think it's a public account. I don't know. At @Wash_PR. Heineke posted a 150.3 passer rating in the first half. Seventh highest passer rating for a Washington quarterback in the first half of a game since 91. It was the highest since Kirk posted a 155.1 against the Cowboys on January 3rd, 2016. You remember that Cowboys game? Washington had already sealed up the division, so Kirk only played the first half, and he was lights out. Mm-hmm. Kind of think they should have let him play the whole thing, because then...
He was lights out yesterday, too.
That Vikings team has talent, man. Mm-hmm. Of the teams that appear to be emerging for the final two wild card spots in the NFC, the ones that I think are better than Washington are San Fran, Philly, and the Vikings. I think the Vikings are the best out of all of them. They're schizophrenic.
They got some monsters on offense, dude.
Schizophrenic, and you don't know what the hell you're going to get defensively. All right, let's get to these phone calls. Sean in Chesapeake, you are on the Gambit DC listening line. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Great show.
What's up, man?
Hey, something dawned on me yesterday. I'd love to hear you guys' opinion. Right around the third time that Heineke made a big play and he's doing his war cry scream and I'm in the family room doing the same thing, I'm like, whoa, what is different between this and the Denver game? And I'm like, I think they must have figured out cutting him loose is the way to win. I mean, he was on high the second that game started. He's firing balls in little windows. You go to that Denver game, he looks like they're trying to make him like Alex Smith, like dropping balls in buckets. He can't do it. So anyway, I'm curious what you guys think.
So I appreciate it, man. I don't think the play calling changed. Like, they're still calling the same plays.
The play calling hasn't changed at all.
It's on Taylor.
He has gotten more comfortable in letting the ball go. I don't like when people keep saying, well, they. No, he's that guy out there. Once you get out there, you make plays. They're not saying throw the ball here, throw the ball there. He was the guy holding on to it. Like, and he holds the ball a little bit now. But yesterday, when he let him go, he was stepping into his passes. He didn't do it, because if he had that little floater like he did the most time, the ball that went to Cam Sims in the end zone, that went past two or three different defenders.
I think a big difference, honestly, from Green Bay, Denver, even Kansas City, he's taking sacks that he probably shouldn't. They're coverage sacks. Like, mm-hmm. It's not the offensive line's fault. Ron Rivera said it 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Taylor even said it on air with me 2 weeks ago that, you know, four out of those five sacks were my fault. I'll take a sack over a bad INT any day. I think that's a big difference, is that he's not sending up the YOLO ball when he shouldn't. And I think that's a huge difference in the last 2 weeks going back prior to that. When he's not turning the ball over, listen, the sacks are no good, and sometimes it drops him out of field goal position. Mm-hmm. There are problems with the sacks. That's part of the volatility of watching this young man play. But the sacks are better than the picks.
Yeah, as long as you hold it, don't be like a sack fumble.
Sure. Let's go to Mike in Triangle. Mike, what's up, man? You're on Beamish and Finley.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
I'm going to stop giving y'all crackhead bets because every time I do that, we win.
Keep doing it.
You guys, hey, Beamish, one thing, your post-game suit was on point, dude. That was a nice suit.
What about my suit?
Huh?
What about my suit?
Didn't see it.
I didn't see your suit.
I was on the same show Brian was.
No, you wasn't.
Hold on.
Yes,
Mike.
Yes, you was.
Mike, do you not think I'm on the same show Brian is?
He you know, no, you're not.
I'm talking about the post.
Yeah, he's on the
post.
You're not
sitting
show.
In the studio.
No, I'm not.
No. Yeah.
But I'm still wearing a suit and on the same show.
No, but I will say something. Your hair does not move when the wind is blowing, so I don't know what you got going on with that hair, man. But
Mark
it doesn't
Mosley
move.
Going on.
Hey, look, you guys got to get me out of this. My wife is listening. All right, I'm very passionate. Bobby Ross taught me that when I played football at Maryland.
Go Terps!
And that's right. And yeah, but they only need one more win. What is up? They start out 4-0 and now they've lost. All right. Anyway. All right.
Mike, I mean, hit us with it.
All right. I cried yesterday, and I cried at the Tampa game. My wife, because I'm a law enforcement officer, my wife said men should not be crying at football games. Please get me out of this. Tell
well,
me I'm going
right. to just tell your wife, no, don't ever say what a man shouldn't do. Men can cry just like anybody else. Men have held in stuff so that's long, right. And right now, and I'm going to go serious on you. There are three times more male suicide than women suicide because men trying to hold everything inside and they're not allowing themselves to express and talk about their mental health. So keep expressing yourself, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right.
I know that we do Ask B. Mitch Anything on Fridays, but can I do a real quick Ask B. Mitch Anything? B. Mitch, why did you just get a bunch of tape out and just start folding it up during the segment?
Because, I mean, I get bored, and I find stuff to occupy my time.
It was so loud, dude.
I mean, I got bored halfway through that call. It was so long. B-Mitch has
now,
been doing this.
Call. I do this all the time, though.
He's been doing this for the better part of, like, a couple weeks.
But it's just a matter that he doesn't pay
attention. He found a roll of tape, and sometimes just halfway through a segment, he'll just start pulling off large lengths of tape.
He's using his teeth to rip it in half. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
When I was in high school, that's when they basically did away with Stick'Em. So I would take tape and just play with it for the tip of my fingers. And then your fingertip would be – and it became a habit.
Did you wear gloves?
When? High school stuff?
Yeah.
No.
What about college? What about the pros?
I would hang them off my
– So you could sell them? So get an endorsement from the glove company?
For them. This is a funny thing. My daughter, Bria, started doing it. I'm like, hold on now. I didn't transfer this. She said, I see you do it all the time. So she was like –
With the tape?
Yeah.
I like playing with tape. I just rarely do it during the middle of our radio program.
Well, the thing about it is you do everything else in the middle of the program.
I am never distracted.
Please.
Kodo, when am I distracted?
Hold on. What's weirder, him cutting his nails during the middle
the
of the segment?
The nail cutting
or
was
tape?
By far the one seed of B. Mitch not paying attention was when he was cutting his nails.
No, first of all, I'm cutting my nails. I'm listening. And talking. I talk and listen the whole time. So the difference is when you start doing stuff, you go into a zone.
I think cutting your nails should be done at home.
I think cutting
Call
your
me
nails,
old fashioned.
I think cutting your nails can be done whenever you want to do it.
Well, clearly that's what you think.
Because you do a lot of stuff that you need to be doing at home.
That's true.
And I won't say it.
Kodo, put out a Twitter poll. Where should you cut your nails? At home?
Whenever they
or
need
whenever
to be,
you, wherever you want.
Whenever they need to be cut.
I think at home we'll win, but I'm legitimately curious about this poll.
Hey.
All right.
I seem to do it whenever I feel like it.
We're aware. We're well aware.
I'll be at a park. I'll be at home. I'll be in a car. I don't care. But every time I cut one, I got my nail right here to be able to get rid of it. When you're doing them at home, how many nails are probably in your car?
Oh, they're all over the place.
See?
That's why I do them in the bathroom. I try to clean them up. I probably do a poor job.
See, they just showed you on the thing, JP, but your suit.
Who is it, Colt? My guy Colt?
No, it just showed you.
Yeah, what the hell? How did that guy not think I was on the show?
Oh, Lord.
Let's get one more call in here. Let's go to our guy, Lewis. Lou, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, how you going? Thanks for taking my calls, guys.
What's up, brother?
Hey, yeah, just quick question. I'm liking what I see, but, I mean, I just think it's still a small sample. We still need to see some more. I don't know, maybe the coaches catching up with the players or the players catching up with the coaches. I don't know. But, you know, still a small sample size with teams who, I mean, you got Tom Brady and them who came in town that probably was less prepared than they should have been with injuries. And then you got Cam Newton coming back with, you know, haven't been with the team that long, playbook maybe questionable, everything on that end. So I still got to see something more. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, Lewis. I think that's fair to want to see more, certainly. Yeah. But they're showing you a lot more than they have, man. A lot more than they have.
It don't take much to show more than they have been showing.
That's true. So, I mean, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad. 2-2 became 2-6. Four-game losing streak. You don't make that up with a two-game win streak. If you keep stacking them, you keep stacking those chips, you just might have something. Cody did a tremendous Twitter poll. You ready for this, Brian?
What you got?
Of course, you can follow at B. Mitch and Finley. It's up to 3,500 Twitter followers. It's pretty good, Cotto. Mm-hmm. So Cody's Twitter poll is, where should you cut your nails? Three options: at home, anywhere else, or during your radio show. The early votes are 67% at home, 33% during your radio show, and zero votes for anywhere else.
Well,
have you voted, sir?
I'm not voting because I don't need nobody else to tell me what to do.
I mean, he votes on a regular basis. He clearly votes during your radio show.
Yeah. You know when people are like, you know, I'm going to tell Dan Snyder I don't like him with my wallet. I'm not going to that game. Brian doesn't need to answer the poll because he shows with his actions.
He lives the poll.
Actions are louder than words.
The person that does it, does it. Don't have to worry about nobody, what anybody else says.
Keeping your calls going, talking Taylor Heinicke, talking clipping your nails, and talking the Washington football team on a Victory Monday. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Talk goes through us.
Girls want to do us. Who us? Flow like Starsky and Hutch. In my cherry MC, bring every MC easily. I just speak my piece. We're back. What up? I got major news, Landfill. Brock has informed me that Spencer Dinwiddie is his new favorite player for the Wizards.
He's a baller.
He is. They had a good win Saturday night. Baller. They played at night, I believe.
Who's Wiz?
Yeah. At home.
Can't you?
I've been watching that at Dudley's. I've been watching that Monday Night Football. Eating wings.
Wings.
What are you eating tonight, Landfill?
I have no idea.
Man. I'll be eating wings.
The wings are good over there.
They are. Let's keep these phones going. I have a question about Taylor Heinicke, and I'm curious what you guys think. Mm-hmm. Taylor Heinicke's numbers for the season are pretty good. He is completing, pulling it up, but I bet it's not quite 70%, but I bet it is 66, 67% for the season. He's got, I believe it's 15 touchdowns against 9 interceptions. He's at 66% completion rate, 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, over 7 yards per attempt, averaging about 240 a game. He's helped on the ground as well. I mean, he's rushed for a touchdown, 275. He's averaging about 6 yards per rush. Can move when he needs to. If Taylor Heinicke was a draft pick, if he was a 6th-round pick out of Old Dominion, I think people would be ecstatic about Taylor Heinicke.
But CJP, that's the thing that we both shot down just a few weeks ago, and another caller said that.
Because he's not a draft
pick. He's not a draft pick. So the hypotheticals, as the caller said earlier, we already said that he's not a draft pick. You and I both stated that. Why would we come to then and say if he were a draft pick?
So here's the one. The comp I've made for him is that you, in an ideal situation, you get a Jeff Garcia-like career. And the age is a factor with Heinicke. I understand mm-hmm. that, right? Because he's 28 years old. So I went and looked this up. Garcia didn't get a start in the NFL until he was 29.
Right.
So I do think it's fair to try to consider the body of work with Heinicke. And I'm not. There are some people that want to ignore the bad games. You can't do that. He's a volatile young quarterback, or just a volatile quarterback. But it is interesting to view to try to view it through a different prism.
The way I view it is this: when this season is over and you put everything down, then you start making those decisions. Is he someone that you feel you can move forward after the season is done? Because just about 2 weeks ago, the talk even from the building over there was that they were thinking about going to Kyle Allen.
I know.
Okay, now we're talking about, do you want him to be the guy, in a sense? My thing is, let the whole season play out, then we'll figure that out.
I'm with you there.
We're right now on this roller coaster ride where we've seen great, damn good. We've also seen bad.
Totally. So. It's been volatile. You can't just look at the Tampa and Carolina games, and you can't just look at the Saints and the Broncos games. Mm-hmm. I like this tweet from Bill Bloom. He says, Heinicke deserves a full evaluation at the end of the year. What is the final record? Is he improving each game? I think we draft a guy either way, but not convinced yet that Heinicke cannot be a long-term answer either. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Like, leave the door open. Look at the whole body of work. I will say this, though, B-Mitch. We talked about Rodgers, Wilson, if they do end up moving, I don't think they end up here, right? Mm-hmm.
True.
I don't think if Heinicke, even if the volatility remains, right? Even if the good and bad remains.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just extrapolate Heinicke's numbers. If he's at 15-9 and 66% completions, I don't think the completion percentage is going to drip much. I don't think he'll finish the season below 65%. I think he's a relatively accurate guy. I think he'll maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not going to go the rest of the season without throwing another pick. The picks tend to kind of come in bunches, but I mm-hmm. think there will be more. Let's say he finishes around 25 touchdowns, and maybe more than that. They got 7 games left. He's at 15. Let's say he gets to 28 touchdowns, 16 picks, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that could be kind of doable. I wonder.
So you're anticipating 13 touchdowns in the next 7 games?
A little less than 2 a game? That seems about right.
Right now it's basically 10 games and 15.
Yeah. So maybe that's a little high. Say it's 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 11 touchdowns and 7 picks the rest of the way in.
I think this. I think Taylor Heinicke right now has done a lot to prove that he's going to be in this league somewhere or another. But I think when you start talking about a quarterback for the Washington football team, it has to also be, is he enough to make people want to come sit in those seats on a regular basis? Because I don't know if people check, but look, when you look at the home stadium participation, not a lot of people sitting in the seats. And I think the difference is we're looking at it just, oh, yeah. But they have to look at it for the whole
totality.
Thing. Like, okay, yes, we like him. It's a great story. Is he putting butts in the seats?
So I agree with that. I'm only prepared to get to one place with Heinicke. I still think if they identify a rookie passer they really like, take him. I don't think you should get away from that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Kenny Pickett that Cody Betts hates inexplicably, or you like Matt Corral, or hell, you like Carson Strong, the kid from Nevada. You think you can get him in the second round, whatever it is.
The Raging Cajuns did a little something to Mr. Willis's draft status.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got questions about Willis because the stuff I heard from somebody, from an SEC coach I know, about his time at Auburn raises concerns for me. But I don't know enough. Like, we don't need to get into all that now. Mm-hmm. But if they want to draft a young passer, do it. If they can find Derek Carr, if they can go get a legit top 10, top 12 quarterback in this league, if they can get that guy, go get him.
Yeah,
but here's where I'm prepared to get to. If you're talking about Mariota or Trubisky, I'm cool with sticking with Heinicke because I don't know that those dudes are markedly better than what he is.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of it is this: if you can get a rookie or you can get another top-notch player, the top 10, 12 player, you go with him. But if you go get somebody the same as him, you don't want them. Therefore, you don't think he's the guy. That's the mindset I have and what I'm listening to. Because if you don't think Mariota, the people who equal, aren't the guys, then he's not the guy. So you still feel you need to improve at the position. And I just think, like the guy who texts you, let's wait till the end of the year because this narrative, every other week is something different. That's a waste of time. At the end of the season, you see. You make a decision, you move forward. But ultimately, you have to always have somebody that, like the next guy up. We get caught up in this town where we all have guys and we don't have a legitimate person behind them, no matter what the position. I remember when, was it Chris Samuels who had the neck injury?
Yeah.
Chris Samuels was your left tackle. You had no legitimate left tackle backup on a roster. That's pathetic to me. The guy that had a neck injury that could be going at any time if something happens, and you have nobody on the roster that could play left tackle.
I'll say this specifically about the O-line. Coaching or evaluation, they're deep. It is truly next man up on that O-line.
Yeah.
Because Rouye goes down, Larson goes in, Larson goes out, they bring Schweitzer in.
What's the mindset of the head coach, of the coach of the offensive line?
Kick their
old
ass.
Old school as hell.
Yeah.
Who believes that, you know what?
Tight end, too. And they're doing they're doing the same thing at tight end.
And that's what I'm trying to say.
Ainer and Matsko deserve big credit
the
there.
The guys that are holding that old school mentality. Listen, everybody today said, well, the kids today won't pay attention. Yeah, if you keep being wishy-washy with them. But if you, from the moment you get to them, you make them understand it's going to be one way or the other, one way out of it, they will live up to it.
They started that game going left to right. Leno, Flowers, Larson, Sheriff, Cosme. They finished that game, Leno, Flowers, Schweitzer, Sheriff, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Schweitzer, Lucas, Leno, Flowers, Sheriff, mauling dudes.
Yeah.
That was an impressive game from the offensive line.
And the thing of when I watch Matsko and what's the tight ends coach?
Haener.
When I listen to those guys, when I hear guys talk about them, I smile. Because those guys don't care about all of this hurt feeling stuff and things of that nature. They're out there to help you get better to win a damn football game. And my mindset when I come on this radio every day is the exact same way. I don't want to hear these excuses. I don't want to hear the BS about, oh, well, we just ain't ready to play yet. Why not? If you hold them to that standard, then they'll be ready to play. My thing is you're a professional athlete. When you get on the field, you're supposed to be ready to go out there and match your wits against somebody else's. And if you don't, that's on you.
Certainly. Phone lines are packed. We're going to get to them, but I got to hear from Landfill. Taylor Heinicke, two really good games in a row. That followed two really poor games in a row. What do you make of Heinicke at this point, Mr. Jim Andrew Mullins, the 40th?
I don't know that I would say two really good games. He had one really good game. Yesterday, he played really well.
He was good against Tampa. You don't think he was good against Tampa?
He tried to throw like five interceptions in that game.
Threw zero.
He did throw zero, but he tried to throw like five. He tried to throw zero yesterday, so respect for that. I think he played well. You know, I want to see him keep playing well. That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm not going to...
You want to wait till the end of the season to have a Heinicke future discussion.
Yeah, when he plays well, that's good. I think it's good when he plays well. But when he plays poorly, I'm not going to pretend he plays well.
Certainly. We are... You know what this show doesn't do? Pretend. Mm-hmm. We are not in the make-believe business. We are in the reality business. Let's get to these phones. Phone lines are pizzacked. Let's hear from James in D.C. Jimmy, what's up, man? You're on with Beamish and Finley.
Hey, how y'all doing it? Thank you for allowing me to be on the talk show.
Cool, man.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, I was calling. I wanted to say I'm evaluating Heinicke like he's a rookie. He's getting better as the season is going on. And if we do the same thing, I think we can keep him in there and go ahead and get someone else to back him up for later on. And then with the defense, I love the defense because now – they're actually playing discipline. The defensive ends are going out instead of crashing in. They keep the pocket and making the quarterback stay in the pocket. How y'all feel about that?
I don't know if it was the two defensive separate ends. Thank you, James. The thing with Heinicke, I've already made my comments. I'm not going to discuss that anymore. But the thing with the defensive end, I think Allen and Payne were dominant yesterday. And because I saw in the little RPOs and different things where they were trying to cover Cam and the DNs, trying to cover Cam and Christian McCaffrey at the same time, and you cover nobody. So I think that game yesterday and last week, they played better, but I'm not going to sit up here and act as if that, you know, just because in a sense, people are trying to now pit the young guys against the guys that are missing right now, which I'm not going to allow.
Yeah, I'm not into that. One thing I think, they are blitzing more. They're being more creative and more aggressive. Exactly. I wish they did that when Chase was on the field.
But that's my thing. Why not do that when you had Chase and Montez?
Right.
You know,
because then those guys can make wrecking plays.
You're basically telling those two guys right now, and they're still very relatively young, you're telling those two guys to go out there and just beat everybody. You think these offensive linemen are like, okay, I'm going to let this second-year guy just beat me? I've been around for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And when you begin, if you would blitz a little bit, then they get a lot less chipping. Remember we kept hearing about chipping? A
lot of chips.
Well, how about blitz a little bit and help them out? Right now, we're getting a lot more pressure because we're bringing more people. We were bringing four, maybe five before, and that's why it wasn't working. Now you're starting to bring that six guy sometimes. And then you saw, what was it, last night, I'm watching those games, watching the game last night, the Dallas game, and then I watched the other one. They bring that seven guy off the edge with the right timing. They were getting to the quarterbacks every damn time. You see what I'm saying? And then also you speed up the quarterback's decision-making, which doesn't always work in their favor.
Sure.
So you send four. I got five offensive linemen. More than likely, you're not going to win. Then I got a guy chipping. You bring the fifth guy. You're probably not going to win. And my quarterback stands and passes his hand.
And you know what makes it harder?
7-on-7.
You know what makes it harder for the guy to chip? When you send somebody else in the A gap.
And he got
to
watch him.
Yeah. It's a couple things I want to point out. A couple of fun things happening on social media. Joey Sly, the new Washington football team kicker, who just casually hasn't missed a kick yet in two games. He's made, I think, six.
I need you to stop doing that because every time I hear the commentators do that, it happens.
I'm not jinxing him. What I say on this radio program has nothing to do with how Joey Sly performs on Sunday, Landfill. Hey, it doesn't.
That's what they say about the guys inside those boots.
You know, the team's 2-0 since I debuted the list. So
that's true. That
what we say has
true.
Some power.
The list has power. With great power comes great responsibility, Landfill. Joey Sly on Instagram posted a picture of him making a kick. And you know what the comment was?
What?
I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty damn funny. Pretty damn funny.
Okay.
What'd you make of Cam's celebration yesterday?
I had no problem with it.
I have no problem with it. That's who Cam is.
The reason I said...
What I have a problem with?
I know what you got the problem with, and you and I had this discussion last week, and we had it again on the phone yesterday. Cam ran to the middle of the field and didn't say nothing to anybody in Washington.
You run to the middle of the field. You're saying saying something to the whole world.
Let me stop. No. So when we saw interceptions by Washington defense earlier this season, and they run 40, 50 yards to find that camera in the end zone. Same thing, isn't it? Isn't that the same thing?
Brian, I hate the taunting rule. I don't think it should be officiated on the field. There's no way what Cam did wasn't taunting by the letter of the rule.
No, it's not.
All I'm saying is if you're going to have the stupid rule, that's taunting.
So you're trying to tell me when Jackson and all get the interceptions and they run 50 yards to go find a camera, that's not taunting?
That's been carved out in the rule book because the NFL put those cameras there on purpose. Now, they did that last year during COVID because there weren't any fans and they still wanted to let players celebrate.
Taunting by the letter of the law is not celebrating. Taunting by the letter of the law is trying to show up somebody by being in their face.
Running to the middle of the field is not showing anybody up.
That's not
now,
taunting.
His other touchdown, he ran around the back of the bench and was like hyping up the fans. No way that's taunting.
I don't think either one of them was taunting. I don't think when they get an interception, it's taunting either. I'm just saying you can't pick out one thing and not say the other thing.
But that's what the NFL has done. They flag defensive players for celebrating, and offensive players can do anything they want.
Has a flag been thrown on any defensive player that get an interception? I saw a big dude last night get a ball and ran damn near 75 yards to go find a camera. And I didn't see a flag thrown on it. So
they've carved that out.
No, they're not carved out. The penalties you're talking about normally, when a defensive player does something and they stand up over somebody, that's legitimately taunting. When an offensive player pancakes somebody, if he stands over that person, they're going to throw one on him. But they don't rarely do it.
Offensive player, I mean, there's a 2-to-1. I'm not making that up. The numbers are the numbers. It's 2-to-1.
I know
defensive players getting penalized on taunting instead of offensive
players. The ones that do more taunting. And you know, I played offense all my life, but I am more of a defensive mindset. But defensive players do way more things than normally offensive players do.
I don't see how that's possible when Cam Newton scored, ran 50 yards to the middle of the field.
Dude.
Cody, I know you, what's your thought here?
If that's not a taunting penalty, then there shouldn't be a taunting penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
They should just get rid of it.
I think it's fine if he does that. I'm not mad at him for doing that. But how on earth is that not taunting? If what the kid did at the end of the Bears game was taunting, how is that not taunting?
What the kid did? I didn't see the game.
This a couple weeks ago I'm talking about. Remember the guy that got hip-checked by the ref on his way out?
That kid ran towards their sideline. That's a totally different thing. If Cam had ran towards Washington's sideline, I'm 100% with you. But he went straight to the middle of the field, did not say anything to anybody, bam, slammed the ball, ran inside. It didn't work for him anyway. But I don't see it as
taunting. He ran 50 yards
the week
to the
before
middle
he
of the
got
field.
Penalized for taking his helmet off. So you're saying that's more of a penalty than running to the middle
now,
of the field?
Taking your helmet off has always been a penalty. The NFL don't want nobody to have any individualism in this game. That's why taking your
running
helmet off.
Running to the middle of the field isn't individualism?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. The more I listen to you, it's like some days you have a mindset that you're different. Then other days you begin to say everything you hear the fans talk about. My whole thing about it is I don't see that as taunting. Like when I would take my helmet off in an interview early in my career, I didn't think it was a bad thing. But you know what? That's the rule. But what I started doing, wait till I get to the numbers and then pull it
off. If he did it on the road, would that have been taunting?
Then,
that's a good question, actually.
Yes, it's taunting then.
Because T.O. did that famously,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's taunting then because now you're going to somebody else's witch call. So what I'm trying to say is...
That's a fair point,
I guess.
We
have to stop trying to make everything into an issue when it's not. Because if all of a sudden you're going to find out they're going to be playing football and I'm going to want to turn... Everybody's going to want to turn it off because the league going to be throwing the damn flag every 5 seconds.
My point is that the rule is incredibly stupid and not applied evenly.
I think the rule is stupid based off of the fact if they don't know what you're doing or what you're saying to someone, That the it's subjective as hell.
It's totally subjective.
But it's not every action. Every action is not a taunt.
I agree with that. The refs yesterday, it was a mess. They couldn't figure out the game clock, the play clock. The last 2 minutes of the first half took about 20 real-life minutes because the refs had to keep going back to update the game clock and the play clock. Don't try to make those dudes adjudicate taunting in game. They have too much stuff going on without it.
Well, you're going to be interviewing somebody this week. Talk to him. He was a part of that taunting rule being implemented. So my whole thing is, hey, we sitting up here talking about what our head coach wanted in this league. So if you want to sit up there and where were all the fights going on before?
All the fight. All
that's
the,
what I'm trying to say. So
help the kids.
We're dealing with this BS because people pushing it, something in there that they should have never done.
Get rid of the rule. Don't let refs flag it. Put somebody in charge of taunting during the week that watches every game and mails out fines. That will end your taunting. Phone lines are packed. We're going to them next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.